Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini, Chris Scheim here with you until 1 o'clock, taking you right up to kickoff. Patriots taking on the LA Rams, and for more on that, NBC Sports Boston's pre- and post-game, and you can hear him twice weekly here on WEEI. Mr. Tommy Curran joins the program, I guess thrice weekly if you include this show. Tom, how we doing?
Tremendous. How's everybody? Happy game day.
Everybody's good, I think, right? I don't want to speak for everybody. I think everybody's doing okay. That's good. I hope you're good, Tom. And let's go ahead and start with the news of the week that we just heard yesterday about Tyquan Thornton, who has now been released. This is a team that had a very crowded wide receiver room all season long. So I guess my question is, what took so long here?
He's a second-round pick. There were occasions in training camps when he flashed some capability, and he did it multiple times. He did it mostly in his rookie year. So I think that's what took so long. I mean, do you want to release a second-round pick, or do you want to release K.J. Osborne, for instance? Who do you want to acknowledge isn't working out for you? So I'm understanding the reticences in Tyquan Thornton. So that's the answer to what took so long. He's a second-round pick. But what does it mean? What is it attributable to? And it's attributable to all of their college scouting, all of their drafting. It goes on and on and on when you look at these players that they've drafted. And I kind of compiling back to 2015, it's just, and you can go further back, but I stopped at a decade, just knee-buckling how poorly they did in the first three rounds over and over and over again.
Tommy, you want to go back to, sorry, were you still going there?
No, that was it.
That was it? Are you sure?
Yep, that wasn't a pregnant pause.
Okay. So I want to go back to a conversation that we were having in the last hour about the report that came out at the beginning of the week, Alex Van Pelt, that ownership is calling around, saying how you like what we're doing with Drake May. Is this the right thing? And I know you've just addressed this a little bit during the week. I'm a little confused about the timing of the calls, because I guess I just don't understand why you're doing that when things are going really well with the quarterback individually, it seems, from the outside, and why that report is coming out now.
Well, it's the back half of his rookie year. Alex was not their first choice. As well as he's done with Drake May, I was listening to you earlier, Mego, you make a good point. They're not averaging a hell of a lot of points. We can have any number of reasons and qualifiers as to why that is. But the bottom line is, are they headed in the right direction? So I don't blame them in the least for kicking tires, sniffing around, trying to get confirmation as to whether or not they're doing the right thing or they could do better. I don't think it was on the part of the crafts or anybody within the organization intending to have that get out now to just put a fire under Alex Van Pelt. You know, the way that Albert reported it, and he didn't really report, they kind of reported it. He said crafts are calling around to see about the direction. I'm not sure the crafts were probably looking to have that out there in the media. I don't know who that benefits. That's my thing. We have a tendency, I think, in the media to, when somebody gets something, say, well, that was given to somebody for a reason. Sometimes someone talks to someone and they talk to someone and then we burp it out.
So this was loose
they
lips,
didn't expect it to get
maybe.
It.
Maybe loose lips.
And I think that's probably the likelier scenario. So whoever was reached out to probe as to whether or not they were doing the right thing. And I don't even think that this is really disloyal, unfaithful, or destructive. You should do it. You'd rather it doesn't get out, but even if it does, just look at the person who says, what'd you do that for? And say, because I want to make the team better.
Yeah, but Tom, you do it four full games into Drake May's career? Like, wouldn't you? Isn't this something you would do, like, you know, in the offseason at the owner's meetings or something like that?
Every friggin' day. I would, Chris, I would do it every friggin' day. Are we doing the right thing? Because we haven't won a thing here since 2019, and we are getting embarrassed on a routine basis. Now, clearly, we have an elite player at one position. Otherwise, we might have a corner. We might have a defensive tackle. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of guys. So are we doing the right thing? I would ask that every day I get to the office.
Does that 100%. Scrutiny extend to Jerod Mayo then, or is it just Alex Van Pelt in the offense?
Well, of course. No one said it's Alex Van Pelt. I mean, when someone says we're probing to see if we're doing the best things for Drake May, I would imagine that includes personnel. I imagine it's Elliott Wolf. What should Elliott be surrounding him with? Do we need a different scheme? Do we need better linemen? Do we need receivers before linemen? Do we need two tight ends, or should we go more run and shoot? Should we make it more palatable to him? You have to ask all of those questions of every department to make sure that that one player is taken care of, and that includes head coach. What's the tenor of the team? What's the organization level? How hard is Jerod on the wide receivers, coaches, tight ends, coaches, offensive line people? All of that stuff, everything. Van Pelt was a default. But if you're doing the job the way you ought to as an owner, you're probing everything.
Well, if that's the case then, and they are going to be continuing in this direction, how do you see the rest of this season going in terms of the Drake May, Alex Van Pelt, and let's even extend it to Jerod Mayo sort of relationship, those three working together and bringing him along? Because it seems like at some point, if he keeps progressing, there's going to be a point of no return where it's like, all right, this is a good situation. We don't want to mess with it, right?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, just asking a question, am I doing okay here? Yep, you're doing great. They're doing great. That is an opportunity that is conceivable as well. And I would say I haven't really heard anybody in the media, and everybody in the media is generally amenable to change. I haven't really heard anyone this week since we started this conversation say, yeah, Van Pelt's got to go. He's killing May. I just haven't heard that. So I think that if you have May feeling the way he does about him and Mayo feeling the way he does about him, then you have a situation where the owners are going to say, well, my employees all seem to be working well in the same direction. Am I going to upset the apple cart and set us back if we change? So you're exactly right, Christian. If it continues to be competent and sparking optimism, why would you change?
Tom, you said a couple times that other than the quarterback situation, the biggest goal of this team has to be establishing the desired culture for the future. Mm-hmm. How much progress do you think Jerod Mayo has made as the head coach establishing what he desires the culture to be here?
I think he's made a surprising amount considering how bad and really difficult to watch they were, ending with the Jacksonville game. And ending with him calling his team soft. And, I mean, I recoiled when I heard that. I wonder what you guys did when you heard he called them soft. Not playing soft. Not they're kind of soft. Not we can do better than that. Just we're soft. I was, oh, my God, you can't say that. Yet they have responded since he said that. And they did take ownership of their own responsibility for being a team that had that label applied to it. So to me, he has surprisingly been pretty capable, even though there's been a litany of times we've said, that's not really the way to do it. The team has responded to him, even as they continue to struggle. They're not good. I mean, God, they're not good. The fact that they have three wins is astonishing to me in some ways. And they could be 6-4. They really could. Had they beaten Miami, Tennessee, Seattle, all winnable games, they could be a 6-4 team. But they're just not a good team.
Tom, sorry.
I don't know what point I was making there, Chris. I'm sorry.
I think you landed it there.
Yeah, I think you landed the plane. You're good. So I think a lot of us attribute the defensive performance last week to just how bad the Chicago Bears offensive line and quarterback situation is right now. But, I mean, the Rams are going to be without their starting right tackle and their backup right tackle. Is there any way with the limited return of Christian Barmore that this defense actually continues to look pretty good this week against a solid offensive Rams team?
That's a really good question, because you would think that, okay, you're not going to get that kind of performance from Sean McVay that you got from Shane Waldron and stand there with no concept of how to fix something. And the quarterback, Stafford, is better than Caleb Williams. I don't know if we'll be saying that in 10 years. Probably. But Caleb Williams was completely befuddled and actually actively making things worse after the snap. I don't think Stafford will do that. But one interesting aspect of this game is that the Rams can't run. They stink on the ground. They're like 30th, 31st in the league in yards per carry and average about 94 yards per game on the ground. So are the Patriots able to bow up a little bit and make it difficult for the Rams and put them into some situations where it's 2nd and 8, 3rd and 8, and put the heat on them? And even as I say that, Shime, I'm sitting here thinking, you still got Nacua to deal with and Kupp to deal with on third down with Stafford. So this could be a tough game for the Patriots. And I know that there's a lot of enthusiasm from the last three games and the results that we've seen, even though one of them was a loss. I just think that this is a program they're going against. The Rams have a program. The Patriots do not have a program. They're trying to install one.
Yeah, fair. Although this Patriots team, whoever's still around, you know, the Mayo Hightowers is a team that does have experience with that program, right? I mean, they do know how to play defense against this Rams system.
They do. And I just think that with Jason McCourty and Devin McCourty, and I don't know if Patrick Chung was on the field in 2018, but Hightower, the players aren't the same. You can scheme all you want, but they're going to have they could likely have a hard time. I thought they were going to get blasted last week by Chicago, though, because right. I had no idea how bad Chicago was. So I am very Patriot-centric.
All right. We got a final score?
I could be wrong.
We got a final score there, Tom?
Yeah, 51 to 11.
51
That's
to 11.
Rams win.
Not
all. No. I got to give you a rest. Do you want to have a flex of the game? No flex of the game?
No. We don't have that on the show.
Let's go with Rams 27, Patriots 20.
All right, okay. 27-20. There you go. You heard it live from Tom E. Kern. You can catch him on pre- and post-game with NBC Sports Boston, as well as thrice weekly here on the airwaves at WEEI, sometimes with a flex of the game, but not today. Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
Great Tommy Kern joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Here's Chris Schein with what's trending. And when we come back, we'll have the inactives and let you know who's playing and who's not today with the Patriots and the Rams and all around the NFL.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL. WEEI. Football Sunday. Christian Arkin, Chris Schein. Mego had to go. We'll miss you, Mego. She did give her pop lock and drop picks, which we do have to read this week. We always forget to do that when she's not here.
Yep.
Out of sight, out of mind. You know how it is. Anyway, speaking of out of sight, out of mind, Christian Barmore has been out of sight most of the season. Out since July with the blood clots, he has been activated and set for a return today against the Rams. Tyquan Thornton was waived to make room for him on the roster, and also because Tyquan Thornton was a total bust of a draft pick.
Yes.
But that being said, Barmore back in the lineup. I'll say this. he's been on blood thinners for basically this whole time, right? Like, isn't that your blood clots? I don't know a lot about him.
I know nothing.
But I know that he's been taking blood thinners and that, you know, they've been trying to do their due diligence here, and it doesn't seem like anyone's worried about him getting rushed back. But that, to me, seems like a very, that's a serious thing. You know, blood clots, you don't mess around with those.
Sure.
David Andrews, you remember, had him. He sat the whole year. You didn't see him come back early, I don't think. And now with Barmore, here he is just about halfway through the season, and he's back in uniform today.
Yeah, I don't think they're rushing him back. I think they clearly took their time. They did their due diligence on this. I just think modern medicine's wild, man. I mean, we watched two guys before the season literally get shot, and both of them have played multiple NFL True. Games at this point in Ricky Pearsall and Tank Dell. So, like, I just, when it comes to medical stuff, I don't put anything past anybody. I don't think that they would rush a guy out here in a season where you're currently 3-7. It's not like you're in the middle of the playoff hunt. You're really on the fringe of it. So I just feel like they're not rushing him back by any means. And I'm excited to see him back. He is going to create a lot of other opportunities for guys like Dietrich Wise, if he even plays today, like a guy like Keon White. And it just kind of opens up the rest of that front seven in a way that I don't think we've been able to see so far this year. And on top of it, it's going to help with the run defense, which at times has been awful, awful this year. So
yes. Now,
I'm excited.
I don't think he's going to play a lot today.
No, I think Reese said 10 to 20 snaps, which
makes
sense.
Easing in process was, I think, the exact quote there. And, yeah, that means he's going to be in certain rotations. He's going to be out there for certain situations and things like that. And he's not going to be playing every down. And I don't even know if he was playing every down before. But you know what I mean. It's not going to be his full workload, and I think that's okay. But that does certainly speak to, I think, a big-time boost on that front, something that's been missing this year, definitely in the run game, as you said. I think in the pass rush, too. He's not a big sack guy, but he's someone who can pressure the quarterback. He's someone who can get there and get paws on him. And listen, they haven't been doing a lot of that outside of last week against Caleb Williams and that makeshift Bears offensive line. You haven't seen a lot of it. Trevor Lawrence did not get sacked very much. Mason Rudolph didn't get sacked very much. Aaron Rodgers, all those guys. It just seems like most of the opposing Patriots quarterbacks get to zeros, and they have pretty clean jerseys this year.
And when it comes to Barmore, like, this would be, if he was fully healthy and getting his full workload, this is the perfect game where he can make an impact, because a guy like Matt Stafford has a literal 0% scramble rate this year. He doesn't leave the pocket. He doesn't run. And so to disrupt the pocket is what Christian Barmore does best. He kind of creates chaos there, and that is what allows other guys to get those sacks. He may not have the sack numbers, but if they had a number for sack assists, like in basketball, they have points generated off of assists or whatever for Jason Tatum. That's kind of what Christian Barmore does a lot of the time. And this would be a game where you would see it constantly, I feel like. So it's nice to see him making his return. I'm excited to see what he can do in limited fashion and then going forward through this season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that, too. I always root for athletes named Christian, so, I mean, that's an easy one for me. Yeah. Yannick Ngakoue is going to make his Patriots debut this week, too. Any expectations for him?
No,
nothing.
I mean, there's a reason this guy wasn't on an NFL team for half the year. Cool. Like, Yannick Ngakoue, welcome to the team. If he gets that pressure, good. I'm happy for him. I will take any assistance we can get on the defensive line. However, I don't necessarily expect him to make some massive impact.
I would agree with you there, too. The only thing I would say about that is that, you know, guys like Jeremiah Farms or...
Sure.
O'Shane Mathis or who's the
that?
Other guy? O'Shawn Mathis.
Okay. Yeah.
Did I say that right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Jacqueline Roy, you know, like guys.
Jaqueline Roy.
And like people like that whose names I have a hard time pronouncing because they just sort of pop up here out of nowhere. But like guys like that, and I think Roy's out this week, but you know, if they weren't on this team, if they were free agents, would they be on a roster? You know, like, so Ngakoue, you know what I mean? Like, he at least has a bit of a resume.
He was
a very situational player, and we'll see how much he gets used, if at all, today. Because, frankly, guys like Keon White and Anthony Jennings, you need depth at those positions,
Definitely.
And that's a depth signing. But he's not, I don't think he's going to challenge to start ahead of either one of those guys.
No, absolutely not. He is a rotational piece. You need to spell Keon White. You need to spell Anthony Jennings. You get a guy like Yannick Ngakoue in there to give them a bit of a rest.
Yes, and I think that having Barmore back will also help people like Jelani Tavai, who has had a tough go since Bentley went down with the injury. Ellis, I think, is still out. Taki is still out, right? I don't know if those guys are going to be inactive. We'll find out here.
So both of those guys are questionable. We'll find the inactives out here momentarily. But do you think, just knowing where this defensive line is at, knowing you need some depth, how many snaps do we get Brandon Schooler today? Over 2.5. Over under 2.5.
I would say they should go over.
Should go over.
I think they should go over. The only thing is, his main function last week was spying on Caleb Williams. You don't have to spy. You don't have to spy on Matthew Stafford.
No, but I guess you could use him as a direct pass rusher, right? On, you know, you get him in a 3rd and 12, 3rd and 14. It's like, okay, let's get Schooler out there. Just pin your ears back and rush the passer, right?
I'd be fine with that. I mean, seriously, I have no problem seeing him go out there. It's Jalen Hawkins and, you know, Pettis made some plays too, but Mapu, I think, is still sort of struggling to find his footing there. So, yeah, if you have a rotation and he's a part of it, then turn him loose.
Yeah,
why
like
not?
What I said to Fitzy, him and I were on yesterday, I mentioned how, you know, the Patriots used to bring Marcus Jones in on offense occasionally, just like as a spark plug type thing. I think that's what you can do with Schooler. He gets 3 or 4 snaps a game, nothing too crazy, no heavy load, but you know when he's out there, he's going to go for the passer. And then, you know, maybe if he continues to have some success, then you can throw in wrinkles where it's like, all right, we bait the pass rush with Brendan Schooler. He drops into coverage. You might catch a quarterback off guard. Yep. But, you know, I like the idea of sending him in there. What do they call it? Their Longhorn package, I think is how they named it. So I'm into it.
All right, very good. We're waiting here for the inactives. We haven't seen anything come out yet, but as soon as we do, we will certainly let you know all about it. As the Patriots here looking to win 3 out of 4 games. It's kind of weird to think about, right? They win this game,
insane.
They'll have won 3 out of their last 4.
And honestly could have won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
Like, that Titans game was very winnable.
It was a winnable game, for sure. And just to think about that, think about having a stretch like that. It's been a while. It's been a while since you felt that good about a consecutive month's worth of Patriots games.
The last time was Mac's rookie year where they got, like, the Titans without Derrick Henry, the Browns without Nick Chubb. They had that stretch where they rattled off, was it 6 in a row, I think, or something like that?
It was 7 in a row.
Might have been 7 in a row against a lot of depleted football teams. And that was the last time you had a legitimate winning streak and felt really good about the way your team was moving.
Yeah. The year after that, of course, Mac got injured in the Baltimore game. You sort of bounced back and forth with him and Zappe. Couldn't really get your footing either way. They kind of bounced back in and out of the lineup with people wanting Zappe, even though he wasn't any better. And then last year, of course, we all remember how that went. I mean, it was just a debacle from the start. And Mac looked like he was unable to really do anything. So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity here. Even if you don't necessarily win the game, I think you can lose with dignity this season.
Of course.
And still, like, I'm still at that point with
like
this team.
Like the Tennessee game.
Exactly. Like, and the Tennessee sucks. Like, the Rams are at least
a
respectable team with a good coach and a good quarterback and sort of all that other stuff. The Titans were a bottom feeder like you. So I didn't consider that quite as dignified. But I think this one, you hang around with the Rams, you get in a shootout with the Rams and Drake May scoring touchdowns and you're going back and forth and they end up winning because they have the ball last or something like that. I can live with that.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, you just look at the next 3 games. This game and then the next 2 are all very winnable games. Like, you get the Rams, Dolphins, Colts. The Dolphins have been no great shakes, even with Tua coming back. The Colts have gone back to Anthony Richardson. I expect a bit of a spike this week, but overall, they're not a great football team. So I think you can compete, maybe win, or at least, like you said, lose with dignity the next 3 games. We officially have the inactives ready, if you are ready for it.
All right, lay them on me.
All right. Your New England Patriots inactives are as followed: KJ Osborne, Marte Mapu, Joe Milton, O'Shawn Mathis, Tyrese Robinson, Dietrich Wise, and Jaquelin Roy.
Okay, couple of things here. Number one, KJ Osborne's got to be looking around going, oh boy, am I next?
Yeah.
Another healthy scratch there for him. He should be next. I'm surprised he wasn't the first one to go, to be perfectly honest with you. But yeah, there you go. He's out. Marte Mapu's out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not shocking to me or anything, but you asked about Brendan Schooler. I'd say, yeah, he's going to be in there now. You know, he's going to be part of that rotation now.
Especially if Ngakoue is only a rotational piece.
I mean,
Barmore is going to be limited. Without Dietrich Wise, you need pass rushers. So it's a perfect opportunity for Schooler to make a bit of a name for himself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably the most accurate comp, I'd say, of anybody else on the defense to him is that guy. So, yeah, there you go. You probably see a good amount of Schooler. Also, Dietrich Wise out. We were just talking about Ngakoue. I mean, that bumps him up a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, he's going to get a lot more snaps than what we expected him to get today. I'm curious if this is going to affect Barmore's usage at all. Maybe he'll be towards that upper edge of the 20 snaps in the game than towards the lower edge, just because they need pass rush depth today.
Yeah, and Roy out as well. With Roy out now, you're probably going to see a good amount of Aquale, a good amount of Jeremiah Farms.
Oh, yeah, it's a big Jeremiah Farms day.
It should be a big Farms day.
Welcome to the pharmacy, baby.
There you go. Okay, the Patriots with a not surprising list of inactives, I don't think. None of these are particularly shocking, but there you go.
So does that mean they're only running five receivers today?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Right, so it's Kendrick Bourne, Javon Baker, Kayshon Booty, Pop Douglas, and Jalen Polk.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Nice.
Unless
so Kendrick Bourne might actually get some snaps.
They could throw Marcus Jones in there too, I guess, right?
Yeah, theoretically they could.
Conceivably. I know we keep saying this every week and they never do it, but
no,
I keep thinking one of these weeks is going to happen. One of these
Maybe
weeks is going to go
day.
Out there.
Hey, they'll listen.
But yeah, that's right. It's going to just be Bourne, Booty, Douglas, Osborne, and Polk, yeah.
Okay, question for
or, no,
you
not
then.
Osborne. Yeah, Polk and Baker. Those
do you
five.
Think Kendrick Bourne gets... some courtesy passes this week, specifically because they kind of, he was like a healthy and active more or less last week. And they were like, yeah, you're not going to be really involved. We're going to let the young guys go in. And then all of a sudden, boom, KJ Osborne's inactive this week. Like, let's get Kendrick Bourne a little bit involved as a make good.
Osborne's inactive. Bourne played last week. I mean, like, he was in uniform.
Yeah, but he was like a basically healthy
But they
scratch.
Told him you're not going to play, right? Yeah. Like, he had a uniform on. It's not like Osborne here where he's inactive before the game. It's a different thing. What do you think that was all about, by the way? Because I don't buy this. Wow, we need to get the just play the rookies anyway. They're out there, right? Like,
and if you're going to play the young guys, why? Yeah, that's the other thing I don't understand.
Have they thrown a single pass to Javon Baker? Like, come on.
No, I don't think they have. And also, if you're going to play the young guys, why not give Tyquan Thornton another chance before you cut him and just cut KJ Osborne? KJ Osborne wasn't a draft pick here. You signed him in free agency for like $5 million. He's a nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's really, and he basically said he wanted to be traded anyway. So, like, you'd probably be doing him a favor if you did it.
Exactly. Probably helps your receiver room.
Yeah, that's a weird one. And Kendrick Bourne, who I think has probably the most optimistic attitude out of all of these guys.
The best attitude.
You gotta at least give him that. And I think in the locker room that counts for something if you ask Jerod Mayo. But in terms of what he's giving you on the field, I mean, it's not much. And
no.
He does have a reputation for being not the most detail-oriented player in the world, and that's
sure.
caught up with him before. So
yeah, but like I just think with the way your receiver room has acted like immature children most of the season,
right.
Kendrick Bourne is the one guy who has stood up and been somewhat of a leader in trying to lead by example. Like, he's been a good sport, a good teammate, a good Patriot, and so maybe this is their way. Like, last week he was basically a healthy scratch. Yeah, he had his uniform on, but he just kind of sat there on the sidelines. They told him he wasn't going to play.
Right.
Maybe this week they put KJ Osborne on the inactives. Like, all right, Kendrick, we're going to get you some targets this week. We're sorry for doing that to you last week. We wanted to run some things differently. This week, you're back in the lineup.
Something about it doesn't seem right, though. You know, something
no,
about it,
it just
doesn't pass the sniff test to me. Like, you know, we got to see what these young kids say. You don't know what Jalen Polk is yet?
You don't have an idea of what.
I understand maybe not with Baker, but the fact that he can't get on the field in this wide receiver room tells me a little something about him, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
At the very least, you know, he's not out there making people in wheelchairs stand up or whatever he said in the preseason. Like, he's not doing that. He's not really doing anything. He's barely played. So, like, that's kind of the point. Like, you know mostly what you have. I think you know that Kayshon Booty is your most reliable guy. I think that was said about him this week by Van Pelt, maybe. I'm not sure who said
yeah.
it. But they said, yeah, Booty's been our most consistent guy. You know what Douglas is going to be, probably a 500 or 600 yard season for him with a couple of touchdowns, maybe. Might pick up some third downs. He's been fine this year. You know what those guys are. You don't really know what Kendrick Bourne is right now.
No,
that's
you have
sort
no
of
idea.
The point. Like, I don't know
coming
what the hell
injury,
Kendrick Bourne
is. Coming back from injury, he hasn't
done nothing. He's dropped a bunch of passes. I know that. And
he's
I feel
dropped
like,
less than Polk.
That's true. But he's played less than Polk, I guess is the point.
Also
if he played
true.
As much, then maybe they have the same amount. But I have no idea what Kendrick Bourne is right now. He's coming off an injury. He's a veteran wide receiver. He's flashed in the past with Mac. And I don't know what he is right now. And they were like, yeah, we're good. We need to see what these rookies are. It's like, I know more about the rookies than I do about Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, because they've had way more snaps. It doesn't make sense to me all that much, especially for a guy who's had success in the NFL. Like, Kendrick Bourne was decent with the 49ers. He was pretty good that rookie year with Mac Jones.
Yep.
You'd expect him to have been a piece here, and yet they choose not to use him. We have the inactives for the Rams, if you'd like them.
Yes, let's hear them.
So, inactives for the Rams today, Stetson Bennett, Charles Woods, Cody Schrader, Dylan McMahon, Joe Noteboom, Rob Havenstein, and Neville Gallimore. So they're two right tackles. They're starting right tackle, their backup right tackle, both officially out for this game, which means they are going to have some jabroni third stringer at right tackle, which could mean a good day for a guy like Keon White or Anthony Jennings.
Yeah, certainly could. I'm looking on the Rams' official
depth chart
Twitter account.
Oh.
And rather than posting the... rather than posting the inactives 44 minutes ago. It's just a video of the of Gillette, and it says, yes. "You're telling me a razor made this stadium?"
I don't get it.
Oh, you know, like
Gillette razors.
You're telling me like a shrimp fried this rice? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I get ya.
But that doesn't work here. Like, that's not, it seems like someone my age trying to make a young people joke is what that seems
yes,
like.
Yes, that's exactly what
is
it is.
Is that what the Rams did? Did the Rams hire an old to do a young job?
I'm guessing the Rams social media manager is probably in their 40s.
Probably, yes. And I understand. Listen, I mean, hey, we're all just trying to, Jacob knows, all us olds are just trying to keep up with the young kids and their millions and millions of TikTokers. But it's very hard to do, and it's
you're
hard
not
to
a big
do
fan
it
of the lingo?
Authentically. I can't, I don't know it. I mean, I'm on TikTok. I have no idea what I'm doing. Every time I open up TikTok, the video that I get is something ridiculous. It has nothing to do with anything I like or follow or anything. And I have a pretty basic algorithm, but TikTok is just, I have no idea what I'm doing on TikTok at all. And I think the Rams social media guy also does not
know
what they're doing either.
He's
Are
lost.
You telling me a razor made the stadium? That's not how that joke even works. Okay.
Arcan Rams, knows come that, on. And he's old.
And I'm really old. Really, really old. There are your inactives. We'll get, do we have keys? Do we have Wiggy's keys or not? Are we going to call him? Are we going to get live keys? We have keys.
Keys.
All right, good, great.
Right.
Very nice. Jermaine Wiggins of the morning show, of the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy's Keys next. WEEI Football Sunday, Christian Arkin, Chris Scheim, and as we always do at quarter of 12, it is time for the keys to the game, courtesy of Coach Wiggy.
I can't wait.
Here is Jermaine Wiggins, former Patriots tight end and current co-host of the Greg Hill Show, with his keys to the game. Let's get
what
key number one. Here we
Wiggy. Go. Here are my three keys for today's game. One, you got to make Matthew Stafford uncomfortable in the pocket. If you give him time in the pocket, he can surgically go up and down the field. So make him uncomfortable. Put pressure on him.
Good first key, and I think a good thing to establish early on in this game, because one thing about Matthew Stafford, he's going to be in that pocket. He's not going
yes,
anywhere.
He is not.
He is going to be right in that pocket, right between the tackles. Now, that doesn't mean he can't move in the pocket. Like, Brady was very good at moving around in the pocket.
And I think
so
Stafford's the same way.
He's good at that. He's got good instincts. He's got good footwork. He can throw not on the run, but on the move, and has always been, I think, very, very skilled at that. So, yes, despite his natural ability to sort of sidestep rushes and things like that, if you can get after him, and I think they can. The Rams' offensive line is good. It's not great. It's better than Chicago's for sure. But I think that this Patriots front right now, getting a boost from Barmore being back in, and just sort of having a game, you know, like last week they had a game. And they got to be feeling good about themselves. I think there's going to be some momentum there. So I agree. That's a big key to this one.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of energy on this defense, and they need to kind of get that and turn that into sacks. And that's going to be how they kind of limit this really explosive Rams offense. I mean, Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua is a really good unit. And so you need to find as many ways as you can to negate that.
Yep. All right. Let's get key number two.
Number two, you got to be able to run the football. You got to run the football early. That'll allow Drake May to get some play-action passes so you can take some shots late in the game.
I feel like this is a common key.
Yep.
Running the football, establishing the run early in the game. I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, that's a nice thing to be able to do. Is that going to be a key to winning this game? Is establishing the run going to be a key to winning this game? Because
I
don't know. I just, maybe it's because they haven't done it, but I felt like they ran the ball pretty well last week, and they did win that one. So I don't know. I mean, they do sort of go the way of the offense, and the offense.
But they also couldn't run the ball against the Jets, and they won.
And they won that game too. It's true. They didn't really do much there. I think that it'll help. It'll help free things up for Drake May. But do they have to establish that run early on? A couple of big chunk runs here and there at any point in the game, I'll take. I don't think it needs to be in the first quarter.
Yeah, I also don't think it needs to be designed, right? Like, the chunk runs can come from Drake May scrambles.
Yeah.
I think that's totally in play, and I think that's probably more likely. I think your rushing offense this week may come from Drake May, just like it did against Tennessee.
The reason why I'm even saying it like this is not like I want to argue with Wiggy. He knows better than I do, of course. But I just, that defensive front with the Rams, they got a couple of good rookies. I mean, they have some fearsome guys up front, and the Patriots have had a hard time rushing against athletic, strong defensive fronts here, and I got a bad feeling about
That's why I think it's going to be imperative on Van Pelt to kind of spread it out a little bit and then allow Drake May to scramble, and then occasionally you're going to catch him off guard with some draws, and like that's how you're going to get after it in the run game. You're not going to be able to line up in I form and just kind of like run power. That's not how this is going to work.
Yeah, probably not. Ramondre Stevenson did have a nice bounce-back game last week. I would like to see him string a couple of those together because you really haven't seen much. His last good game before that was the Miami game where yeah, he rushed for 89 yards with a touchdown on 12 carries, 7.5 yards per rush. That was good. And then, of course, there was the first game against the Bengals, and he had a pretty good game against Seattle, too. Other than that, he has been kind of a ghost. He was not good against the Jets in either one of those games. He's overall averaging just under 4 yards per carry on the season. I'd like to see him boost that up over four today. I think that's a good goal to shoot for. You don't have to do a whole lot to do that, but
correct.
Let's get back up in the fours, closer to the fives. Let's get to the Ramondre Stevenson we were hoping we'd see on a week-to-week basis here when the season started, because it's not just us, the fans. Like, the team was expecting that.
No, especially, yeah, well, that's why they gave him a $9 million a year contract, right, which is still, to this very day, an overpay.
It is.
But they need more out of Ramondre Stevenson.
Yep, 100%. All right, key number three.
And number three, I'm going to say this every single week, I need this defense to stop creating turnovers, whether that's interceptions, causing fumbles. You got to create turnovers. If you do those three things, you'll be able to walk away with a W.
All right, turnover battle, always a big one. It is rare that a team wins the turnover battle and then doesn't win the game, although the Patriots have done that this year. The
-4 in turnover ratio.
Yeah, it's been it's not been great. How many turnovers were there last week? I feel like Williams.
I don't know that they're.
Did Williams lose a fumble? Maybe, or
I'll double check.
Yeah, maybe the Patriots lost a fumble. Right? Didn't Jones fumble one of the kickoffs?
May threw the pick for sure.
May threw a pick, and there was a five. I forget who fumbled, but someone fumbled. The Bears didn't turn the ball over. You beat them 19-3 and did not force a turnover. How about that?
Yeah, so turnovers for the Pats. Nobody lost a fumble. The only turnover in the game was the Drake May interception. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. All right, well, that was it then.
And they only scored 3 points.
Yeah,
but that's the
Jones
thing.
Did fumble, but he recovered it. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I feel like people overrate the Drake May interceptions sometimes, mm-hmm. is because in today's NFL, sacks are almost as impactful as interceptions. Like, because sacks just are drive killers in a way that we've never seen before in previous iterations of the league. And so when your team suffers a lot of sacks, i.e. Jacoby Brissett,
right,
you may not turn the football over, but you immediately have to punt it away. And if you're up against a good offense, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it depends where the interception is on the field, obviously. But yeah. I see what you're saying. And it is just in the way that the offense is going and the league in general is going. Certainly something to keep an eye on. The Patriots now are going to be coming into this game with their offensive line. I'm surprised Protect Drake wasn't in there.
You
notice that? He's confident in the offensive line now. Sounds like it, right? Is that what we read into? People expecting the offensive line? Because I thought last week they looked dynamite.
Yeah.
I thought they were very, very good. Demontre Jacobs on the end did a great job of sort of riding the edge rushers out, and that worked great on those bootlegs and May throwing on the run. I was very impressed with the offensive line last week because as bad as the Bears looked on offense, there's nothing wrong with their defense, right? I mean, like, their defense is still probably one of their strengths this year, and they have some talented guys on that front.
Well, yeah, and I think that's another thing, too, that people haven't quite dug into enough is just how good Drake May is at also assisting his offensive line and avoiding the pressure. Right, a lot of the times in his tape coming out of college, people would say, oh, he's drifting too much with his feet, it's bad footwork, when in reality, he's just feeling pressure and drifting away from the pressure right away. And that's kind of what makes him really talented, is that he knows where the pressure is coming from right off the rip and immediately starts to drift away from it to prepare himself in order to move away and not take a sack.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the underrated parts about Drake May's game.
I think a lot of people are feeling better about this offensive line. I think a lot of people are feeling better about the protection, about May and his instincts sort of feeling the rush and it coming up behind them, even though he did have that strip sack a couple weeks ago. It does seem like he's not a mistake repeater. You've heard that about him. He doesn't repeat mistakes, and he has had some bad throws, so I don't know if I 100%
agree with
that. Yeah,
but really, the only wild pitch he had was in game one. Outside of that, the other interceptions have all been like mistakes, right? Like the one last week, he should have just thrown it to the tuba player.
Right.
Instead, underthrew it, got picked. A couple weeks ago, missed a safety underneath. Safety pops up, sneaks it, takes a pick, runs away. Like another one was just like a bad, like mistiming with the receiver. He thought the receiver was going to kind of stay wide. Receiver didn't, got picked off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is learnable mistakes on just about every one of his interceptions outside of that very first one.
All right. Well, there you go. Those are the keys to the game, courtesy of Wiggy, who you
Elliott's
can hear.
Wolf decision.
That's right. You can hear him decision. Monday through Friday with the Greg Hill Show, with Hillman, with Courtney, with Scheim right here, of course, and Chris Curtis every morning, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on WEEI. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines. If you have anything you want to chime in on, the inactives, the drama this week from the Crafts looking outside the organization or maybe on the fringes of the organization to try and get some help with Drake May and not repeat their mistakes of Mac Jones. And, of course, Tyquan Thornton being released. KJ Osborne inactive today, really tightening up that wide receiver room, which has been very crowded all year long and has not really produced all that much. We'll see if that makes a difference today, and we'll get to all of that next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.